This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, where we cover all kinds of topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Well, you heard the temperature. We are rising rapidly, and that means fire season is getting closer. And we want to talk about that with staff from the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Public Information Officer Rachel Pope is in today, and the Assistant Unit Forester for the North Unit, Greg Mock. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
And we should say at the front end, obviously, Rachel, there's no like pre-announced date that's been set, but you can tell with the way things are changing, we're certainly getting closer to fire season. Talk about what goes into deciding exactly when fire season begins.
So here on the district, Pat Scripp, who's our district manager, has the authority to decide when we're going to announce and implement fire season here on the district, which means there's increased fire danger levels and the probability that a fire or a wildland fire may start. And so we're going to look at the fuel moisture levels, we're looking at the relative humidity, and we're looking not only at the temperature, so if it's an increased temperature, but the prolonged duration of that temperature. So right now it might get up to 91 degrees. How long are we going to have that heat around? What is the impact on the fuels? And for you that don't understand or don't know necessarily what fuels are, we're talking about the grass. We're talking about vegetation, brush, trees, and even dead and down timber that's laying on the ground. What is that moisture level of that can impact wildland fires?
Well, and even right now, and it'll certainly be more pronounced as we get to August, but think about a hillside. If you have one on your route to work or something, you know, that just a few weeks ago was looking very green. Now it's not necessarily so green.
Exactly. You were seeing that, what we like to call that brown up out there, and where that green tips of the grass are starting to disappear and fade. So again, we're looking at that moisture level, really looking at this heat duration that's coming in through this week, see what the impact on those fuels are going to be, and officially announce and decide when, and probably in the least the next week or 2 weeks, when we're going to be going into that fire season.
So Greg, you're the Assistant Unit Forester and Protection Supervisor for the North Unit. That's a pretty cool title. What's it mean?
Yeah, so my job's basically, I'm the on-the-ground supervisor out there for our seasonal folks and our forest officers. A forest officer is kind of they enforce some laws for us, and are kind of our on-the-ground small unit leaders out there. So I supervise them. I also do a lot of the outreach for prevention, going to the schools, and some recruiting. And right now is definitely our busy time of the year. We've got a lot of seasonal employees coming on, a lot of training going on. So this is our busy part of the year. And then as summer comes along, it gets busy throughout the summer, especially when we have those lightning storms and stuff come through.
How long have you been with DFPA?
Yeah, so I've been here 10 years. I started in 2010.
You're not old enough to have started here 10 years ago.
So yeah, I started in 2010. I went to the Marine Corps for 5 years, and I came back when I was going to school at Oregon State. Wasn't sure if this was going to be my final career after I graduated. I graduated in 2020, so we had some significant fires, obviously, that year, and kind of decided at that point, this is what I want to do with my life, so.
Now, did you grow up around this area?
Yeah, so I'm from Sutherland. I graduated Sutherland High School 2009. Family's from Sutherland, so I'm born and bred here.
Well, and now that you're a professional for a number of years doing this work, it's got to be kind of cool to do it in an area you've already lived in for a long time.
Yeah. Doing this job here locally, is kind of where my passion is, because it's, helping out the community. That's a big part of it. So I think that's why I'm drawn to this career field, really.
So the North Unit, we don't need to get too geeky technical, but kind of what area of the valley does that include?
Yeah, so the North Unit, the boundary is about a mile south of Sutherland there on I-5, going north to the county line there in Lane County, and then it goes west about 5 miles past Elkton, where it turns into Coos Forest Protective Association, and goes east until you hit the Umpqua National Forest.
So, Rachel, for preparing for fire season, what are some things people should consider doing, maybe even now?
Most important is we want everybody to be informed. So thank you to all of our listeners and Kyle's support that tune in to KQEN. He does a great job of helping us spread awareness to the public and what's going on during fire season and what fires we're having. But another great way is to sign up for local emergency alerts if you're not already signed up through that. It's a Douglas County Citizen Alert, and this is managed by our Douglas County Sheriff's Office. And this is where our official evacuations will be released. So again, that will be released by the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and that's where you should always go for the right and appropriate news when it comes to evacuations. And you could go on dcso.com/alerts to sign up for that. It will go to your phone, it could go to your email, it could go to a landline. It's just always great to have
a
that
landline.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of individuals that still have those landlines out there, and in an emergency situation, if cell phones go down, I'm going to be looking for you to helpfully use your phone. Another great thing is to go on our webpage, dfpa.net, if you're not already on there. That's where I will be posting our public use restrictions and the fire danger levels and what levels we're at, whether it's low, moderate, high, or extreme, and what the public can do and what the public can't do once we're in that fire season levels. We always ask individuals to have an emergency plan for evacuations. Know the best path in and out of your house, where safety zones were, some danger areas, and where would you go if there is an evacuation, and make a go kit, which includes items for your pets and also livestock. I know emergency manager for the county is really great at providing information for that. Douglas Public Health Network does have great information and might have some go packs already readily available for you through some grant funding that they got. So that's another good source for you. And be prepared for emergency power outages. For you that are Pacific Power customers, and there's a notice that went out earlier this week stating that they will be continuing with their power shutoffs just in case there's a fire within, I believe it was a mile and a half from your home location, to expect that power might be going out. Again, Douglas Public Health Network and Pacific Power might have some generator programs out there for you, so look on that online or contact them directly to see if you qualify for that. And again, we always promote defensible space. So removing vegetation and flammable materials that are around your home and structures, which could also include a wooden fence. If that would catch on fire, that fire can carry to your home. So make sure that those flammable materials and vegetation is at least cleared 20 feet around the perimeter of your homes and structures. And if you can, while your grass is green out there and while we're not in restrictions, please go out there and mow it. And if you have bush and brush, go out there and weed eat it. Clear those gutters, get up there, and make sure that there's no, you know, leaf debris and dirt and stuff that accumulates throughout the season now that that rain has finally shut down.
And during the power outage situation, one thing I was thinking about, and I was reading something else this morning more regionally about, you know, long-term power outages, and you think about, I mean, for some of us, a long-term power outage is 5 minutes and we're already in panic mode. But, and if you've got a lot of technology like this building does, it gets really, it really can mess up things for quite a while. When you think about all the things in terms of communicating with your family, things like that, and knowing that you need other devices to ensure that your phone continues working, you know, because if you don't have power at home and you don't have other portable chargers and backup portable chargers, while cell towers may be fine for the general area, if you, you know, if your phone goes out, all that information and all that planning kind of goes out the door with it sometimes.
Exactly, and that's something that we saw during the snowpocalypse when everybody lost power. You know, maybe have cash on hand because ATMs and debit and credit card users are going to be down. There's some things that we just really don't think about that's all reliant on electricity. So ensure that that's included in your go kit too. Maybe have some actual dollar cash on you instead of relying on using your debit or credit card.
Well, and some of these backup chargers, my wife happens to be particularly savvy at that and has gotten a few things and that I actually didn't know what they were, you know, and she was explaining how they worked. And, you know, just having that backup is such a big deal, because if people can't contact you or you can't contact them, or if, you know, I mean, your information to get a hold of people by phone is on your phone. And if your phone goes out, you're kind of toast.
Exactly. And I saw, you know, some of our local stores that like Ross and Marshalls are now carrying them too. So that might be a good thing to look into. I'm not promoting any specific brand. I don't get any money for this.
No endorsement deal here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on getting ready for fire season. Greg Mock and Rachel Hope this afternoon. It's 1245. It'll be a podcast after 1. This is News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Umpqua Valley Live coming up at 4 this afternoon. And Monday on this program, we'll talk to Paul Hillier, the interim superintendent, about ready to wrap up his time with the South Umpqua School District. That'll be at 1230 on Monday. Greg Mock, Assistant Unit Forester and Protection Supervisor for the North Unit of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, and with us, and Public Information Officer Rachel Pope. We're talking about getting ready for fire season. And Rachel, you were kind of working your way through a list of things. I know we've got a couple more that we probably ought to hit specifically.
Yeah, I really want to emphasize vehicle maintenance. You know, we have the 5 that go straight through Douglas County, so all of our units are always dealing with milepost fires that break out there in that grass. So please make sure that you're doing some regular maintenance on your vehicles. Check your brakes and make sure that they're not worn down. That metal grinding can cause sparks that catch on the grass. And then if you can, get your catalytic converter and your tailpipe checked out and make sure that it's in working condition. It could shoot out those metal BBs that also catch the grass on fire. And then if you're towing, a boating season is here, Sea-Doo, jet skiing season is here. Everybody's going to the reservoir and the lake. So please make sure you're not dragging those tow chains. Again, that causes sparks and catches fire. Sometimes you don't even know that you caused a fire as you're traveling. And then also, finally, with vehicles, do not park, drive, or idle on dry grass and vegetation. You got to pull over to the side and check something. Please don't do it on the grass. Keep to the paved shoulder. And motorized equipment, just real quick, make sure that spark arresters are in good condition on four-wheelers, chainsaws, motorcycles, and other equipment. Make sure that those spark arresters are on there catching any type of debris or any type of heat that might be flying out of those motorized vehicles, also catching the grass on fire.
You know, we had probably 13, 14 years ago one night somebody who didn't know that they had a part on their car that was sparking, and I forget where they started. I think it was off Interstate 5 in South County, and it was the top of Roberts Mountain before somebody finally got them stopped, and it resulted in the spot fires that really they ended up calling in DFPA and just about every crew you know, in the county from all the different fire departments, because the potential was just off the charts there. Luckily, though, there was some damage. It was not as bad as it certainly could have been if it hadn't been detected real quickly by other drivers, you know, calling it in. But this went for like 15 miles.
Yeah. And that's what we see along our corridor, especially up at Roberts Mountain. You get a lot of brake checking, you know, or you're dragging chains as you're climbing that elevation. And that's where we see a lot of those sparks. So please, again, thank you to the Good Samaritans that called it into it. We really rely on the public sometimes to call in things that we might not know about yet. So thank you.
So, Greg, talk about, for people that are going to be burning before the restrictions kick in, what do they need to know?
Yeah, so right now we're kind of in that spot where we start having problems with the debris burns escaping right now. Talked earlier about the changing conditions out there. So, you know, some recommendations that we like to make to people is, you know, keep your piles that you're going to be burning relatively small so they can burn down. Doesn't take too long. You know, option that if you have a lot of stuff out there, instead of making one big pile, maybe make a small pile and continue to feed it throughout the day. You know, we ask people to put a trail down to bare mineral dirt around their fires, and also, you know, be around while you're burning. That's a big one. You know, you can notice if it's starting to escape and go out there and you know, take some action on that before it turns into a problem. Also, you know, just having proper tools available for you, you know, a shovel, you know, a garden hose out there, those kind of things are really helpful, you know. But the big thing I would say is definitely if you're going to be burning out there, be around, keep your eye on that fire. And, you know, if you see something getting away, definitely call 911, fire department, us will show up, put that fire out. But, you know, and the other big thing is look at the conditions. You know, if you've got a day that's 90 degrees and it's really windy and the following day is going to be, you know, in the 70s and the winds aren't going to be as high, maybe plan on burning that day.
Some good advice there. Now, Rachel, with fire season approaching, you've got seasonal employees. Talk about that whole process.
Yeah, we have seasonal employees. Our official onboarding date is going to be June 17th, that our first years are going to be coming on. And again, our seasonal employees work during the fire season, which typically we start in June. Don't have an exact date as of yet, but historically it's June. And then we keep them on until they either go back to college. A lot of our kids that come work for us come in and get that fire experience and work until September, October. But majority of everybody is on board until we end fire season, which is historically in mid-October. So we onboard about a total of 120 employees that were fully staffed. So you will see our trucks out there. You'll see everybody uniformed and in their DFPA shirts out and about in the community. So just know that we're going to start training everybody pretty soon here too.
And is there an age range on the people you tend to hire?
Yeah, you need to be 18 or older to come work for a DFPA. Since we're in the wildland fire, by law and legalities, you have to be 18 or older because of the wildfire job hazards.
Now, is there a top end?
Is there a top end? No. As long as you're willing, body, and able and physically fit and can pass our PAC tests and our drug screening, you might be able, good to go.
And no, I'm not applying. I'll just stay here and report on it. It seems safer for me. So you bring in all these extra folks, and some of them, it starts out as just a summer job, but for some of them, it turns into ultimately into a career.
Yeah, I'll let Greg Mock talk about that.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I did this seasonally when I was going to school, and you know, I kind of got a niche for the fire scene out here, and kind of got hooked, and so it turned into my career. And what we see also a lot of people that are looking to get into forestry and stuff, they'll come work for us in the summer, kind of build those skills because, you know, forestry deals with fire as well, and those skills translate over. So there's a lot of carryover to other careers as well. We've got a lot of people for us that are also school teachers and come work for us in the summer. So, you know, it's always good to see our employees, even if this isn't a career, building skills so they can move on to other career fields as well.
Now, for fire season, you've got a lot of different positions. One that I'm curious about is a training warden. What do they do?
A training warden? Well, we have, so our forest officers are fire wardens. So they go out and basically they're enforcing the regulations out there. And they're also that on the ground leadership out there. They're usually the first ones there on a fire in the engine and starting that initial attack process until someone in my position gets there and can kind of take that command from them and let them do the work. And they're great at what they do.
And with fire season and with everybody jumping in there, what's maybe your most memorable experience on a fire?
Most memorable experience. Well, I've been privileged to go up to Alaska. So that was definitely my favorite experience here. Going up to Alaska, I got to go around on an airplane. I was flying around sizing up fires. And, you know, until you get up there, you don't realize Alaska is a different place. And it's a massive state. We were actually, the district we were in was greater than the size of Oregon. So different world up there. It was a great experience.
And see, I think people might be surprised that you actually have fires in Alaska, just given the perception that it's so much not warm.
Yeah, so, you know, their season's a little different than us. They're kind of in right in their season right now. You know, up there, Also, you know, you have to think with the sunlight there on the 21st, they won't see darkness. So it's 24 hours of daylight. So that really dries out their fuels and stuff. So their season's a little earlier than ours. And seasons throughout the country vary. I mean, we sent people, I believe, in November to Kentucky to help them out. So in our off season, with the employees that we keep around, we send them out to help other states, because last year we had our fires and other states surely came and helped us. So
as we wrap up, Rachel, what's the website and contact information real quick?
Again, our website is at dfpa.net, and you can check us out on our Facebook and our Instagram, which is super active. Our Facebook is Douglas Forest Protective Association, and our Instagram is Douglas FPA. Or you could give us a call at the office if you need any type of information. That's 541-672-6507.
1257.